Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Holy cow!
Please shut up!
Please shut up!
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
You're killing me, Smalls!
Brave win!
I would be honored if you played football for this team.
Me? Play football?
Vance Dooley and adore the damn Bulldogs, baby!
Sorry, Lake. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
That's so funny. Last time I heard that, I laughed so hard I fell off my dinosaur.
Just a bit outside.
Oh, look at the sugar falling out of the sky. Look at the sugar falling out of the sky.
You think you'll ever get out of here?
One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
The Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
It's a happy day here at the Second String Podcast on WGAU and Now Radio Show.
Yep.
For about 5 years now, it's been a radio show. But you know what? We're going to let the girl keep on telling you that until she's no longer around to tell you that.
Right.
What's up, Adam? How you been?
Listen, man, we're just happy that it's hot out. You know, this weather got turned up after G-Day and Masters. It's like the official start to spring has become the official start to summer.
I got one. I don't disagree at all. I like the hot weather, but my AC's out, man.
Is it?
My AC is gone, Adam. Gone. We actually had to schedule a replacement over the last couple of days. Luckily, we have a really good neighbor in the neighborhood that specializes in, you know, replacing air conditioning and all that stuff. Hey, you got problems? Call me up. Well, it ain't cheap no more, man.
No, listen.
It's never been cheap, but man.
I had to replace mine 2 years ago. You've got to replace it because the money you spend on trying to fix it, forget it. Yeah. Doesn't even do it.
And that's why we're replacing. We've had multiple times this thing went out, and it's at the end of its lifespan for sure. It's not a nice unit. It was there when we bought the house, and it's just time. So there's nothing like an August day when all of a sudden you're like, man, it's getting hot in the house, and you look over at the thermometer, it's like, yep. It's getting hot in the house because there ain't no cold air blowing your way.
Yep.
So I'm going to be down a kidney.
All right.
Got to donate one of those. The wife is going to donate an eyeball or something
like
that.
And that should cover parts and labor.
Half of it. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm welcoming summertime. I do kind of feel like we've hit the end of spring, even though we have a month and a half of spring.
You know,
it's weird.
In Georgia, I wish we had an actual nice spring, because the problem is, Logan, we go into the pollination season and you don't want to be outside because it's just and it's nice weather, but you don't want to do it. And then you transition from that, oh man, this feels good, to hey, it's almost 90 degrees, because later this week it was almost 90 degrees. Next week, all of a sudden, though, the bottom falls out again.
So we're back down to, like, colder weather?
Yeah, so it's like, what are we doing here?
It's just what Georgia is, man. You gotta live it and expect it and just deal with it. That's my best advice for you. I guess as far as the sports calendar goes, though, so we've crowned March Madness champion. They're done. I haven't thought about college basketball in a week, nor will I until, like, November. We've had G-Day this past week, and that has now come and gone. We have put a green jacket on a Masters champion, and we'll dive into that in a couple of minutes. Got some things to say about a pretty good tournament and a very good champion in Scottie Scheffler. We have had Braves opening day. In fact, that's now part of the nightly routine, just sit down for dinner and watch the Braves.
And try to figure out which pitcher is going to pitch for Spencer Strider, which, I mean, last week we had Alan Winans come in and just got boat raced. What was it, 16-4? So that,
yeah, that was a bad outing.
Yeah, so I mean, look, Max Fried looked good the other night.
Yeah,
I think he's pitching this weekend. I mean, we should be all right, but then again, man, like you said, you gotta have these. We got to have these pitchers. We got to lock these down.
We need someone to be consistent. Darius Vines, we're recording this early this week, by the way, on a Tuesday. So Monday of this week, Darius Vines came up and pitched and looked okay. Now, do I think he's going to be like that starting role for the rest of the season? No, he's going to have good and bad outings. He got the lucky to face a very struggling Houston team right now full of injuries themselves. But, yeah, I think we're going to see Bryce Elder at some point. We're going to see Smith Shawver at some point, who you're busy this week going to see those guys, right?
Listen, Gwinnett Stripers have been playing, and they're playing this weekend, Durham Bulls, the former Braves single-A team.
That's
take that back. but, listen, that's a rotating rotation down there with Darius, Smith Shawver, Bryce Elder, Alan Winans, Dylan Dodd. You can go. The list can go on and on. So I have no doubt the Braves are just going to try what works and see what sticks and what – Alex Anthopoulos says, okay, this guy could work. This guy could be a guy for us. Because other than that, listen, Logan, they're going to have to go to free agency or the market and see what they can find or trades because they can't get one of those AAA guys. And I'm not convinced on Smith Shawver yet. I think they pushed him too much last year.
No, I didn't like what I saw last year either. He may one day get there, but I'm not expecting anything right away. How does the Stripers schedule work? Don't they have like six straight home games, six straight away games?
So what minor league baseball did in COVID to limit the travel – they went from three games to six games. So every week it's on and off basically for your teams. They're home, then they're away. They go six. So the Stripers were just in Omaha, and now they play Durham for six. And then next week they'll be gone for six more games.
Are you sure not a week ahead? Are you playing Memphis this week?
Maybe it
is
Memphis.
Who is Memphis?
Memphis is the St. Louis Cardinals AAA. Okay. I'm glad you said that.
I don't mean to correct you. In two weeks, you will get Durham.
I'm glad you said that because at the time of recording, I'm so loopy.
Hey, man.
They play Memphis this weekend. That's so, yeah, they're going to play the Cardinals AAA team.
Here's our promotional schedule, by the way, and I expect some of these to be making their way into the office, Adam.
Which one do you want?
Tonight, we got an Austin Riley T-shirt Tuesday.
Oh, man, the T-shirt Tuesdays are the best.
You could find an extra large. I'll be rocking that thing around the building.
Let me tell you, every home game Tuesday, you get a T-shirt when you walk through the gate. You get a T-shirt of a former Striper that's a current Brave.
I love it. What is it, a Striper T-shirt, though?
It's one of the Striper's uniform T-shirts, you know what I mean? So tonight's the green one.
Yeah, if there's an extra large sitting around, Adam,
I can swing an extra large for you.
I could bring a donut and a coffee or something.
Oh, man, now you're talking.
I got you.
Logan wants the memorabilia. I want donuts and coffee.
maybe I'll surprise you, and I'll show up tonight over at the ballpark.
I don't know if y'all have friends that you invite them places and they never take you up on it.
They're
Haley
the worst.
From my morning show at WNGC does the same thing. Oh, sure, yeah, I guess, and then I'm busy. I can't. Me and my husband can't. With Logan,
I should make it over there.
And the show you do when Josh fills in for Dave over there at the ref, he says the same thing. He's a cameraman over there, and we were talking about it. He says, "Yeah, Logan's all talk. He'll never show up here."
I'm going to surprise y'all with the missus one day. It's going to be like a Cox Media reunion on a Tuesday night over at the ballpark.
All you got to do is say, "Adam, I'm coming." All right, we'll text your tickets.
That's what I'm talking about. Tomorrow, Wednesday, at the time of recording, if you're listening the early iTunes version, it's Education Day. The Stripers welcome area students to take place in a game at Cool Ray in a fun education environment. That's a noon.
Yeah, let me tell you something about education. Wow. You put about 4,000 to 5,000 kids in there from all camps. Logan, I challenge you to do my job with all the screaming. And they're screaming at these games. If you've ever been to one of these, they're screaming for no reason. The game could be just a normal pitcher's about to pitch the ball.
They do that over at the once a year, maybe twice. The Georgia women's basketball team has what they essentially an education day. They'll tip off at like 11 o'clock. It's field trip day for all the local elementary schools. But what they'll do, and they probably do this at the Stripers games too, teachers or schools will dress their kids in like a solid color.
Yes, that's how it is. Yep.
So that's how you keep track of them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, if a neon green is way over there, go get him. He's out of place.
Right.
Reel him back in. I love the method of that. But you're right, man. The screaming and the high pitch. You have earplugs?
I need them. I got to listen, but I need them. It's just constant screaming.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, if you want to get me over to the ballpark, maybe we're going to have to talk about Thirsty Thursdays.
not only Thirsty Thursdays, mm-hmm. but all-you-can-eat Thursdays.
All-you-can-eat and Thirsty Thursdays.
They have a sweet buffet.
Shut your mouth.
Usually, it's – I can't – don't quote me on this this week, but usually it's a wing buffet.
Okay. Oh, my God.
So, there you go. You got cheap drafts or whatever and wings.
We'll give them an unsolicited plug here. It's presented by Michelob Ultra.
Oh, man.
Every Thursday night, fans 21 and older get a select 12-ounce domestic beer for just $2. That's not a bad price at a stadium, Adam.
No, not at all.
So if you're throwing wings on top of that, man, now we're talking about getting Logan over to the ballpark,
yes.
Adam.
Yeah.
We're figuring this thing out. We're coming to our conclusions. Friday fireworks, that speaks for itself. Nothing wrong with that, weather permitting.
Did I tell you about how Friday, though?
No, what happened?
They're wearing the Marvel jerseys.
I saw those, yes.
Minor League Baseball does a really cool thing with Marvel. Marvel goes and takes their logos and reimagines everything and makes them angry. And so they decided to do the Angry Worm this year for the Stripers.
For those that, like me, I'm not engulfed in the Marvel Universe, who is the Angry... Oh, the Angry Worm from the Gwinnett Stripers.
Right, right, right.
I thought you were talking about like a superhero called the Angry Worm.
No, Marvel tries to make each... So you take... Memphis Redbirds will take their Redbird and try to make it angry for
so
their...
So you're not like... So you're on an actual Marvel character. You're making your mascot look like a Marvel
character. Right, that's
character.
What Marvel does for minor league baseball.
I think
it's pretty
fantastic.
Cool.
Saturday, if you're around Coolray Field, I'm sorry. It's going to be bucket hat giveaway.
Those are sweet.
Stay cool in the shade with the Stripers bucket hat. Gates Saturday now open 2 hours prior to this game.
That is up your... Listen, Logan in a bucket hat at the lake on a Saturday.
It serves a purpose.
Yeah.
I have an Orioles bucket hat somewhere. My one trip to Camden Yards was like 12 years ago. I was a student. I was at a convention in Washington, D.C. My wife was actually with me just hanging out. But me and a couple professors and a student I was a classmate with, we hopped on an Amtrak from Washington, D.C. after, like, all the convention day was done. Took, like, an hour or so train ride up. They drop you off at the gate.
Oh, yeah, that's – yes, Camden I've Yards. Done the same thing. Light rail will do that. Yeah, yep, they take you right there. And that's what I wish we had in Atlanta.
We could use a MARTA stop at Truist Park. There's no doubt about that, man. But man, that's a conversation for us.
that's a whole other podcast,
us,
right?
No doubt about it. But it was cool. We had a great time at Camden Yards. Got a bucket hat as the giveaway. Hung out and watched the Devil Rays, I think it was, and the Orioles.
That's a throwback Devil
Rays. It was the Devil Rays, I think, before they switched over to the Rays. But the problem was getting back to Washington. We thought it would be as easy as just walking up to the Amtrak like gate and buying a ticket and just go back to Washington. No, it took like a tram to go through some like sketchy parts of Baltimore just to get to the track. And then we get there like, oh, we don't have another train coming for like 2 hours. We're like, what?
Well, we got to hang out there, huh?
What are you talking about? So we paid extra to get on this like express train that like it wound up costing us way more. We were broke at the time. I'm a student. Like it was not a good situation, but still a good memory nonetheless since you've survived it, Adam.
You're here.
Hey, Sunday Fun Day coming up at the ballpark at finishing up our week of promotions over at the Stripers Park. A special matinee game for families with pregame, catch on the field, and postgame kids run the bases.
That's fun.
So I know you do a lot of the in-game, you know. What is your title? Do you have like a title itself?
It's in-game host.
MC host?
So I do all the stuff on the big screen. That's all I do.
Do you also like help coordinate the kids running the bases afterwards, or are you done at that point?
I get to go on if I want to stay. And they're like, hey, can we help? I get to go on the field and make sure that they don't go in the dugouts, basically.
I would tell them I'll stay, but I get to run the bases.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you something. And I running the bases is a blast. But the dirt they have on major and minor league fields listen, you do not want to slide. It's
no
called
sliding.
Turfus. It is hard stone that they put over the clay, and this is no joke. I don't know how these players slide into this stuff. And some of these kids will want to slide and slide and then cry because it hurts so bad.
I ran the bases at Turner Field many years ago. It was like one of those like a February fan day at the ballpark.
Yeah, I've been
to
those, yeah.
And I was with my wife. We were kind of dating at the time. I don't think we were married yet, but she was very taken back that I wanted to run the bases as an adult. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like,
was that a deal breaker?
I'm here. I get to run the bases. Yeah. So I pushed a bunch of kids out of my way, and I was like, come on, let me run the bases.
You know what? You would make a great mascot. If you got in a mascot suit and pushed kids around, they wouldn't think anything of it. They'd be like, oh, this is funny.
Don't ask details because it's a long story, but I was one time in the Chick-fil-A mascot cow. I was in the cow costume.
So you were the cow, yeah.
I was the cow for a Truett Cathy luncheon in Atlanta.
Okay.
This is a long time ago. I worked for a PR agency, and Chick-fil-A was one of our clients, and on a last minute, we need help with this. they convinced me to go down to this like banquet, something in downtown Atlanta, dress up as the cow, to stand on stage as like Truett Cathy gave a speech, which is pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
In hindsight. But let me tell you this, behind the mascot cloak of anonymity, I was still very uncomfortable. You would think like, oh, no one can see me. I can do it. I can act a fool. I did not enjoy it because I still felt very like awkward.
It is kind of awkward. Everybody's dressed up, nice food, nice place, and you got a cow.
But you still feel like I'm acting a fool and like people see me, but they don't. And I also discovered that when people take pictures with me, I would still smile like I was like seen in the camera. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I always wondered. I asked the Braves mascot. I know him, and he was the Striper mascot, the Bama mascot. Mm-hmm. I asked him about that. He says, "Oh yeah, I smile." I've been doing this for years. I still smile. I said, "Really? I would just be like miserable in that hot costume." No, I smile.
I guess it triggers body language to look cool at the same time. I don't know, man. Well, go see Adam. If any second string cheeseheads make their way over to Striper games, man, represent. Say, Adam, I'm a second string cheesehead.
We'll get you on a game or something. Real quick, before we end this little thing, we do a game that I want to put Logan in. It's called Steal a Drink.
Have you seen me run?
So listen, Steal a Drink. So we put you in right field. It's the steal a base thing.
Yeah.
You put a drink in a cooler, one of those coolers. You run from right field to first, grab it, run it back in 20 seconds. Yours to keep.
But what if I don't do it in 20 seconds?
Yours to keep.
I still get the beer.
You get the key.
It's a beer or a Coke? What is
it? It's a beer.
So it's like for 21 and up. It's an actual steel and alcoholic drink.
Yep, and you go ahead and drink it.
Do people ever crack that bad boy open as they're running?
They do it while they're running. Because they think you're supposed to do that. We're like, no, don't do that. And I'll tell them during the game, no, don't do that. Just let them go. Now we just let them go and do it.
Yeah, just entertain the crowd, right?
Yeah.
Has my man Zach Thompson ever stolen a drink?
No, he's never been in a game. Zach is great. He loves the autographs, but he never wants to be in a game.
Do you ask him?
I've asked him. He just doesn't.
Punch him in the face next time.
Yeah, that'll go over well with security.
Like, if you're going to say no to me, I'm going to punch you
in the face. I might not have a job if I punch him in the face.
Yeah, let's keep your job, man.
Yeah.
Keep your job. Well, the Masters is done. Did you consume any Masters on Sunday?
I did. I consumed some before All-Star practice. I coached the All-Star team for my little boy at 10U, and I saw the majority of Sunday.
I ate a lot of pimento cheese and just snacks all day long.
I bet. You know, there is one hat that I wanted to get if I ever go to the Masters that just says pimento. Color
orange. I saw that.
That's one of my favorite hats.
It's new this year. It looks fantastic. I need to know somebody that goes to the Masters because it's hard to go. So somebody go get me some gear.
I knew this was going to happen, but it's disappointing that the winner of the Masters had less people following him around than Tiger Woods. Like, no one cared. It's like, there's Tiger. Who cares who's winning?
That's always going to be the case. Yeah. I think Tiger's probably done in terms of competitive rounds at the Masters. He made the cut this week, which set a record. He now holds the record by himself. 24 straight cuts made at the Masters as a professional. That's something that we may never see again. It's pretty damn impressive. But I knew going into the weekend, like, look, we need to stop, like, lofting these expectations in our head that Tiger's going to have a magical year. We got that in 2019. It was like closure. It was so cool we got to see him win one more. But he's not winning another one.
No.
I hate to tell people that, man. And if he does, it'd be a total shock. But, yeah, as long as he's making rounds, there's always going to be a massive gallery. But unfortunately, the end of the Masters was a little bit anticlimactic. Scottie Scheffler is phenomenal, but a lot of guys made mistakes right ahead of him on the back nine, or the second nine is what they want you to call it. And it just felt like right there with like seven holes left, it was over. Because Scheffler was so consistent, I just did not see any cracks in the foundation. We were all right. But that does not take away that he is a fantastic Masters champion. He's only 27 years old. He's now won this thing twice. I expect a couple more at least before his career is over. I mean, this guy is special.
So at least we're seeing the beginning of dominance from a guy, which I think is cool too. But then again, when Tiger's on the course, no one notices, unfortunately.
I know. But yeah, it's hard to sustain in golf. That's the thing. I've felt this way about a lot of people over the years that just kind of fall off. But Scheffler seems like one of those guys that'll be around for a long, long time. Little sad it's over. I love Masters Week. And like we talked about to start the show, it kind of feels like everything we look forward to on the spring sports calendar has already happened, or it's become like an everyday thing, which is great. I love watching the Braves, and I'll take in some Stripers at them, but I don't feel like the excitement of it, like the opening day. You know?
You don't have the urgency of, okay, here's the Masters, here's G-Day, here's whatever you pick. Now you have monotony, unfortunately, and that's fine. we're getting accustomed to that with the Braves winning because they are. But you get this monotony now, and now we're looking forward to, you know, football, mm-hmm. which is a while away.
Darn right. All right, Adam, let's hit a quick break. We'll come back and wrap up the first half of the show, the Second String Podcast. By the way, episode 300. How about that? 300 of these bad boys. I think you and I are getting close to 10.
Yeah, I think we're there.
So,
yeah.
And now normally we would get a cookie cake for our 100th, but we got to do 100 with us before we get our next cookie cake, and we're going to make that happen in the next little while. So come back and wrap up this first half of the show. It is the Second String Podcast and Now Radio Show on WGAU.
Now back to the Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Back on the Second String, what a great weekend weather-wise we had this past week for G-Day, and if you were lucky enough to get over to the Masters or just be outside, man, it was awesome. Just fantastic. I'm a little sunburned.
Yeah, man, listen, though, you're always at the lake or wherever, you know, and you're always cooking, so I can imagine you've gotten a lot of sun. I saw you out at Piedmont Park in Atlanta doing the arts festivals the Dogwood Festival, so you're getting sun.
You know, the funny thing is, though, I avoid the sun as much as I can. Like, even when I'm on the boat or in the water, I have gotten to the long-sleeve portion of my life. I just have zero interest in, like, tanning, getting burnt stinks. But, yes, I'm outside a lot, but I try to put the sunscreen on, Adam.
You got to.
I'm getting up there in age, man.
Listen, the wrinkles will hit you before you know it. You know, I this weekend's a little bit different story with the, you know, rain showers, depending on when we get those, and it's going to be cold. But I kind of really – we talked about this earlier. I kind of really miss springtime because we just don't get one. We don't get a consistent – month or so of spring, we get all, and now we're into the phase of the grass pollen. And the grass pollen is
that what gets you?
I looked at the studio the other day. Listen, it looked like it was raining pollen. And I'm
that
like,
good.
Come on.
I'm so glad it doesn't bother me, man. I'm so glad. But G-Day was great. We actually, don't shoot me for this, anybody, but we were with some friends in Athens, and we never made it in. We had tickets to G-Day.
How?
Because we started drinking beers up on the Georgia Theater rooftop, and they had a TV show in the game, and we're like, man, this is kind of perfect. It's like we could either go back down and fight the crowds and get in the stadium and sit there in the sun, or we can sit right here and keep those beers coming and watch the game on the TV. I've been to so many G-Days. It's not like I'm missing out on that. But we had the exact same awesome experience we would have in the stadium. It was a great turnout. But the weather was just too perfect to move.
I agree.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Once you have your necessities in front of you and the TV's big enough, there's not much more you can get out of it.
So we bounced around with some friends, went over to Creature Comforts for a couple more beers before heading home. My wife was the DD that day, so she got us home safe. And went back and watched the Masters back at home. It was actually a perfect Saturday. It was fantastic. But G-Day itself, look, there's no need to break it down. Here's what you can take away from G-Day. Georgia's good at football.
Yeah.
Georgia was very – it was a competitive, entertaining game, more so than usual, I think. But Carson Beck looked good. The defense had a couple of interceptions. That's not a knock on Carson Beck. That means that you've got good people all over the field playing football. Georgia's going to be solid this year. My biggest takeaway, though, from watching the whole game is the defense is fast as lightning. I think the defensive line may be a little bigger and better than maybe we had feared. Not that it was a concern. It's just there are some questions there, and I think those were answered on G-Day, like Jordan Big Baby Hall. I mean, Michael Williams looks phenomenal. Nazir Stackhouse, Warren Brinson, these guys are big, big bodies that I think can be that dominant force this fall.
You know, I want to talk about it later, but how do you think the NIL is going to stack up? I know we've lost somebody already, but that's a new wrinkle now because you have a great turnout for G-Day, looking at what you have, but then you're like, okay, here's the transfer portal now.
And honestly, it's one thing that makes me not as excited for G-Days anymore because there is still the unknown of the transfer portal afterwards. We just lost Andrew Paul, running back this week. Now, he was going to be like the number three running back on the team, but still, he was in line for work. I don't know if we replace him through the portal or if not. The one difference about the portal now, which may keep it a little tamer, is that if you transfer now in the spring portal, you cannot transfer to the same conference. So you can't leave Georgia and go to Alabama or Bama to Georgia. If you leave, you got to go find a school outside of the SEC. So we'll see if that tames it down. We've got a break right now, Adam. We'll keep this conversation going on the other side. Second String on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
Drums, please!
I figure on episode number 300 we should drop in one of the Second String favorite rejoins, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. You familiar with this?
Listen, this is the official summer anthem. You could play this anywhere, anytime in the summer, and people stop and they just jam to this song. I mean, it never gets old. Never gets old.
I feel like I'm playing it a little premature. It is April 16th.
It's all right. You know, when you're in Georgia and you're able to wear shorts and a t-shirt,
yes, sir.
Listen, it's summer. It's summer.
I like to play this one right when you get in the car. Someone recently asked me, they're like, what is your official, unofficial start of summertime? Like, what to you is the triggering, like, okay, now it's summer and spring is behind you? I had a two-part answer before I get yours, Adam.
Okay.
My two-part answer went like this. The Thursday before Memorial Day always winds up being, this is clockwork, you can always look at this in this way, the Thursday leading into Memorial Day weekend, so end of May, is always 100 days until that first Labor Day weekend college football Saturday.
Right.
So I get excited about that. We count down every day on our show down the hall. 100 days. From 100 days on, you could ask me any given time, Logan, how many days until kickoff, and I'll be able to tell you right away. In fact, recording this today, we're 137 days until Georgia and Clemson. My second part to that answer was that next day, that Friday, also of Memorial Day weekend, when I finally shut down my computer in this office and I grab my book bag and my coffee mug or whatever I need to take with me, the minute I walk out of this door and start my truck, like, that is the most freeing feeling. And it's just a 3-day weekend. It's not
right.
not that long. But that, to me, is the signifying of welcome to summertime, baby. It is here.
You know how I kind of gauge it now is my kids. They're out this year, May 24th, so
yeah,
that's going to be the official kickoff to summer. Unfortunately, summer ends when they go back to school in Georgia, just as sooner than later. But this year, this is a longer summer in Georgia, mm-hmm, which is going to be interesting, by the way, for high school athletics. But it's going to be like a 9.5 week, but that's kind of the end of it. I did want to tell you, Logan, the background to this DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh
yeah,
Prince song.
Let me crank the it reason, back up a little bit here.
Yeah, put it back on. The reason why Will Smith is so low and monotone is he wrote this all in one sitting, but he recorded it the day after he had lost his voice when he was playing a show in Chicago.
Really?
So he was like, okay, I got to take it down a few octaves. So when he recorded it, he's like, I can't, you know, be myself.
He wasn't feeling right.
So you listen to the rest of that album, and it really anything.
I wonder
why
they didn't just, like, re-record it later or
they
something.
They wanted to get it out. They had everything done. They wanted to get this thing out. I think at the time they wanted to get, you know, he was going back from Philly and Chicago. They just wanted to release this thing and get it out in the right time, and they did it.
It's an anthem, man.
Yeah.
Total anthem. I love it. Look, May 24th, that's the kids' last day of school.
Right.
That is the Friday of Memorial Day weekend. So my wife, being a teacher, she also gauges the exact same calendar. I looked up also the UGA academic calendar because a lot of us here in Athens, I know you come in and out, but, I mean, if you spend time in Athens in the summertime, there is something really magical about when the kids leave.
Everybody said that, yeah.
A lot of them will stay. In fact, I think every year for the last like 10 years, the summer enrollment has grown. We're pretty significant. There's a good amount of students that take classes all summer long, but it is nothing compared to the fall and spring semester. And for those that enjoy, Adam, like we, getting to downtown Athens on a random Wednesday for dinner and a drink or so with a friend and not having a bunch of undergrads swarming around you, there's a piece to that.
Right. It's like you feel like I'm in one of those picturesque towns where I can do what I want, have that dinner, have those drinks, and there's not people vomiting on the street.
The adults take over. And anytime I have this conversation, I make sure to say, like, I love the UGA students. They are the lifeblood of Athens and the university, and it's a great, great place year round. But when they get a little older, they will also understand what I mean, that May 10th, coming up before we know it, that's like 3 weeks from Friday, is UGA's commencement. And that's another one of those indicators, like if you want to declare it an early summer, when the kids have their commencement, that's another really good weekend to say, hey, the kids is gone. It's now Athens summertime, and some magic to that as well. So we get like an additional month here in Athens.
You know, I never really followed, but for the baseball and softball players here mm-hmm. in Athens, how long are they staying for? Is this through the entire month of May into June?
Yeah, if you go deep into the postseason, I think the SEC tournament for baseball, I want to say, is like mid. In fact, I think it may wrap up Memorial Day weekend I'm thinking about it. It starts the week before. It's a week-long thing. But the weekend before, if I'm saying that right, goes on. But if you go to a regional, if you go to the College World Series, they don't end that thing till like the end of June. So some players, yeah, I mean, they know what they're getting into before they start the season. But the ones that play the longest go all the way to the end of June, and softball's not that far behind. In fact, whenever they crown the champion in Omaha for the College Baseball World Series, that is like the last event of the previous academic year. There is nothing after that. There's a lot of track that goes pretty deep into the summer,
mm-hmm.
but the College World Series baseball, that is the absolute final recorded stat of the academic sports calendar year for every single college. Then it takes a couple of months. Before volleyball is a very late summer, early fall. I think soccer may crank up late, women's soccer. But, they got that little malaise coming up.
Everybody seems to get – and I remember when I ran cross country and track in college.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we started in August.
Yeah.
So we – I'm like, our actual meet started in August. And I remember our track didn't end till June. And I was like, oh, my goodness, I got to stay past everybody else. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, my goodness, I didn't want to do that.
One reason I never got into Little League as a kid is my family was lake people. Like, we didn't own our lake house at the time, but we had a boat, and we hauled that bad boy to a campground every single week, and it's just what we did.
Yeah.
Living in Gwinnett, going up to Lanier or elsewhere, and we'd camp all the time. But my parents basically laid it out for my brother and I. They were like, y'all can play Little League if you want, but if y'all get into, like, All-Stars or the extended, like, I'll pay you not to do it.
Did you make some money?
And I think both of us were sort of like, yeah, we love baseball, Mom and Dad, but we also like the lake too. So we never got into Little League. Like, in hindsight, I kind of would have enjoyed it.
Let me tell you something, Logan.
Would have had fun. But
don't do All-Stars. I coach it, and it is. We're going to be done in July. And I'm and I think this is going to be our last summer. I said to my little boy, Aspen, I said, man, after this, can we just not? I mean, the summers are too short in Georgia. We just, you know.
I'll take you somewhere fancy.
Yeah, you know, and let me tell you something. We're planning our summer trip. You want to hear about it?
Yes, absolutely.
This is as sports geek as it gets. We're going to go out because our Little League team right now in the spring is named the Athletics. Mm-hmm. We are going to go out to Oakland, California,
nice.
To the old Alameda Coliseum and watch an athletics game with the other 45 people that go to these games.
I was going to say, it's your last chance.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. When you come, when you're there, and I'll remind you closer to, I'm going to give you like $10. I want like a souvenir cup
or
something from that arena, just something simple.
I'm sure I can take a chair for you at that point.
That's probably true.
Let me tell you the biggest kind of in your face to the fans that the Athletics are doing is the final giveaway, the last weekend of the series. I saw this because we were looking on it, the calendar, is they're giving replica stadiums away as your last. Like, what are they going to want? And what now they're saying on Oakland Sports Radio is the fans are going to throw them on the field.
No.
Wouldn't you if you were an athletics fan? Like, I'm just.
What are you doing?
That is hilarious. I wish we could be there to get one of those.
I know.
Things. That is awesome.
But, yeah, we looked at the calendar about that. But, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's our summer trip. He's excited. I'm excited. We're going to go to a couple games in a weekend and, you know, just kind of see it. And, listen, if you're a geek like us about sports, that is one of the oldest stadiums still around for baseball. I mean, you got Fenway and Wrigley, but that's up there. That's probably the third oldest stadium out there.
Something that happened a few years ago that kind of escaped me until later, and I realized that, hey, yeah, you're right, when I heard somebody say this. When the Oakland Raiders moved to Las Vegas, what are we talking, 3 years ago?
Yeah,
it hasn't been
that
long. When they left the Oakland Coliseum that you're going to go see, that is the last time that we've had an infield on an NFL field.
That's right.
Remember, we grew up with Atlanta Fulton County.
Right.
So I did. Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Well,
did
Pittsburgh?
Okay.
The same thing. Yep. The cookie cutter. Yep.
Yeah, so all those places that would house both in Major League Baseball and NFL, obviously it intersects in September. And I can see them ahead clear as day. Just a stadium with, hey, there's an infield right in the middle.
So odd, right? You know, you know what's crazy about Three Rivers? And I know Fulton County was grass. Mm-hmm. Three Rivers was turf. So mm-hmm. you had turf and dirt. What they tried to do is put the turf on the dirt, and it never worked. So a lot of times they would leave it off because it just never really – you'd have these big raises of – like the turf was higher on where the dirt was. It was just so bizarre. And that was one of those things with Oakland. I remember that last season they were there watching that on TV. I'm like, wow, this is like a throwback. We'll never see this again.
Mm-mm. That's awesome, though. No more. I don't think you'll ever see it again, period. You're never going to put, like, a stadium that you have to keep a dirt infield on. Everybody's so specialized now.
Yeah.
Are there any stadiums that do share Major League Baseball and NFL?
The only thing close is not NFL, it's CFL. The Toronto Sky Dome, I don't know what, the Rogers Center, does share CFL and the Blue Jays.
Okay.
They may do it. I'm not entirely sure if that is a thing.
I feel like I'm forgetting like one NFL MLB combo, but there may not be any.
No, that was it. That was the very last one.
I think everybody's got their own stadium now. Interesting. Well, that's a cool trip. I'm very excited for you to go see that.
Yeah.
But yes, I want a souvenir, whatever cup. You get whatever drink you want.
Listen.
I'll pay you double for it. I don't care.
I may do you one up. I'm telling you. If I can pull a piece of a chair off, I'll be like, here you go. Here's a piece of greenwood.
Bring me and Dave a piece of the stadium just to stick in our studio down there. That'd be awesome.
I have heard this, by the way, and this was kind of the thing for some of the stadiums in the past. And you could go down to Old Turner Field. You could probably grab out of there. But in Oakland, you can grab a piece of that concrete because that's crumbling, man. Just take it.
Yeah, I've seen some behind-the-scenes looks. I think a possum lives in the visiting radio booth or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't mess up the possum, man. But good stuff. Back to G-Day for a second. I was going to add something to G-Day.
This is what I wanted to add to this.
Yeah.
And I know that we talked about this earlier, the NIL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know how much you get into NIL on the ref. But
yeah, we have to.
It is changing the landscape for coaches too. What are the coaching lifespan for some of these coaches now? They're going to want to deal with this. You know, Nick Saban is living that cushy life in Alabama, just sitting up in the suite and has his office and that's it. Doesn't have to worry about it. But people like Kirby, who's got a lot of energy, how much energy is he really going to have? Because now he's got to worry about, well, I got to go out and recruit somebody, or I got to go figure this out.
What I'm going to say hurts my heart to say out loud, okay? With NIL, if it stays in this model, and I don't know, we can go deeper in that if you want. If it stays the way it is now, or even resembling pretty darn close to what we're doing, there was a time not long ago, in fact, in the last couple of years, that I convinced myself wholeheartedly, no questions about it, Kirby Smart was going to be the Georgia football coach for the next 20 years. It does not seem like he's an NFL guy. He's making $100 million, and that's only going to grow with contract extensions and salaries and bonuses and all that over the next few years. I convinced myself and others agree that Kirby was home, and he still is. But with this model we're talking about right now, if it stays the same, I'm not shocked at all if Kirby's coaching in the NFL in 5 or 7 years. I just don't know if it's sustainable, healthy, health-wise,
right.
to be a coach in this realm. It's insane. So I hope they get something figured out to kind of regulate this a little bit more. You and I were talking off-air, and here's, without getting too deep in the weeds, here's what I think may happen over the next 5 or 7 years, and this would certainly make things easier on a college football head coach. If these athletes are so insistent that they want to be treated like professional athletes and they want revenue shares and they want money just for being themselves, that's what name, image, and likeness essentially is. They're supposed to be working for it, but they're just collecting money out of the collectives. What I think may happen is eventually, and this could probably require some Supreme Court rulings and a lot of judicial systems getting involved as well, eventually it's going to be ruled that these players do have a right to unionize amongst themselves and give a list of demands to their essential employer, which would be whatever school they're playing for. You're not employed by the NCAA. You're still employed by the team. Think baseball.
Right.
Matt Olson is a Braves employee, not a Major League Baseball employee. So what that would do essentially is think baseball model, and we can talk about that because it's happened recently with strikes and lockouts and all these things. If the players want certain things and they're able to unionize, well, okay, then we're now going to deem you an employee of the school that you play for. Well, that comes with it, collective bargaining. Collective bargaining is a two-way street, not a one-way street. So if the players want this, the owners, I'm talking baseball terms, the school would also say, okay, well, if you get that, we want this, and that's where the bargaining comes
back and forth, right.
That's where the baseball strikes or the owners' lockouts. When they can't agree, that's when the work stoppages happen. It happens, what, every 10 years for baseball now?
Right, and that's a thing, Logan, though, but it's going to be school-specific probably if you unionize, right?
Well, it would be just like baseball. If you unionize and you negotiate based on, like, rules – and salary, like you know, basically putting the format, the blueprint for how this works.
I see.
Still collective bargain as a union, a players' union, but you're still an employee of a certain school
that you play for. Okay.
So, you mean, literally, just think in parallel terms of what we see happen in baseball all the time. It's a good point, though. Yeah, the players would still be unionizing together with different schools, but they would still be a specific employee to the school that they play for. That's where the rich get richer, because schools like Georgia, Penn State, the big, massive schools that have a lot of money to spend, they can negotiate their way with a whole lot of money to negotiate with. But here's what I'm getting at here, and I think this may solve a lot of problems. If they get into that bargaining, and I think this is going to happen again in 5 or 7 years, I think one thing that's going to come up is that if you want to be an employee and you want to be taking a salary from us in addition to all your name, image, and likeness and promotions and all the things you can do on your own, well, we're going to sign you to a contract, which right now with the transfer portal doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. They're encouraged, it seems like, to transfer multiple times. They can go make whatever money they want, however they can make it, from anybody they want. But if you get into contracts, now let's talk about multi-year contracts. If you're Georgia and you got this five-star kid out of high school and all these rules are in effect, you can negotiate with him during the recruitment and say, we'll give you a whole bunch of money, but we want you on a 3-year contract, which means you are forfeiting your right to transfer portals because we have a legal document that you have agreed to play for us for 3 years.
That changes everything. Wow.
It would absolutely change everything. And the weird thing about this, Adam, if you had told me a year ago or 2 years ago that I'd be lobbying for this, I would have punched you in the face. I would have said, you are crazy. That sounds terrible. But we have turned into such a crazy model of college football and all athletics, not just football, but that we need something like this now. And it's weird to say out loud, but I'm at that point right now where if they don't do this, it's going to continue to get more and more unlikable.
If you ever get a chance to go on the ESPN 30 for 30 for SMU football in the Southwest Conference, it feels like what it felt like back then, only flip it around. It's all legal. You can do whatever you want. Nobody's hiding
it. It's crazy, man. Just crazy. So I think that's the future, and I think it's a good thing if we get to that point. But for the time being, man, buckle up.
Yeah.
If you went to G-Day in the next couple of days or weeks, you're going to see some of your favorite players decide they don't want to be part of this team.
Which sucks.
It's a money thing.
It sucks because you're getting all excited for the season. Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't have a running back. We may need him in the season.
Well, if Trevor Etienne, who was a knucklehead and got himself a DUI charge, if those charges aren't dropped, he's not going to play against Clemson. That's a one-game suspension. That's uniform policy by the University of Georgia. You're talking now you're down two running backs. The other guy, Branson Robinson, still recovering from a drastic knee injury. He's probably not going to be ready. Are we going to throw Roderick Robinson out there and say, good luck, man, you got a couple freshmen behind you?
Right.
But they're not ready. So it's getting into a scary depth situation at this point.
You know,
I don't know, man.
It's frustrating as a fan because you're away from all that. You have your pro teams that do that, but now the college teams are doing it.
And let me sound like a Disney dog. That's a term for someone that just always finds the good in Georgia football. Sometimes I am that guy. What I always just kind of sit down and like right now, I'm getting a little fired up in this conversation. I get a little upset. What I'll sit down and realize is that there's going to be in 6 months, Adam, in October Saturday, where the weather's just perfect. The foliage is taking over. It's going to be a crisp morning. Pumpkin beers in the fridge or the cooler.
Yep.
And I'm going to be with my tailgate family, and we're going to have ourselves a hell of a Saturday. I don't give a damn who's on the roster. We're still doing that eventually.
Right.
And that's what kind of gives me peace is that I'm a fan of Georgia. I'm a proud alum of Georgia, all these things. But, like, football's not just going to disappear.
No.
It's just different now.
Yeah. You know, this is your off-season. Yes. I mean, you're a fan. You don't worry about this stuff. But this is when you worry about it, unfortunately.
Just give me the pumpkin beers now. It'll calm me down a little bit.
Man,
all right, we're running out of time. We got to take one more break and come back and wrap it up on the other side. Adam and Logan on the Second String Podcast right here on WGAU.
You're listening to The Second String on 98.7 FM and AM 1340 WGAU, Athens News and Weather Station.
All right, welcome back to Couple Skate, Skate Along USA, right here on Beaver Ruin Road in Lilburn.
Taking it back to the 90s here with some Ace of Base.
Keep it locked.
You know, this remakes here on the Second String Podcast, this is Ace of Base. They did the Bananarama. This song is 30 years old this year.
I love me some Ace of Base. It's nostalgic, man, but I completely forgot they remade the Bananarama song.
Yeah.
Did you watch Karate Kid growing up?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Remember the first day of school, Bananarama's Cruel Summer?
Yeah.
And then did you watch any of the Cobra Kai remakes?
I never got into Cobra Kai.
I'll tell you what, man. If you are a real Karate Kid fan, it's worth your watch. Watch if you get any spare time, Adam, on Netflix. Me and Walker loved Cobra Kai. It kind of jumped the shark after like five seasons.
Yeah.
But in the first season, and they nail the nostalgia. They're good at it, man. The kids of like Johnny Lawrence and Daniel LaRusso had a first day of school. And they cranked up the Bananarama, and I was like, let's go.
I've had friends that said the same thing with Cobra Kai. Mm-hmm. You got to watch it. I don't know why I never got into it. That's good. That's good info now.
If you get the time, it's worth a nostalgic memory. I actually went and bought the Trio. It's cheap on Apple Music. I downloaded the three original Karate Kid movies. They hold up, man. They're fantastic.
You know, I love nostalgia, man. Stranger Things is always great for nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Last season, they're filming. They got some Gwinnett Place Mall stuff. What are they going to do with that after the show's over?
I've heard 90 different things you're going to do with that mall. Adam, you got 2 minutes on the clock. Give the people some advice. It'll get them through life. Anything and everything.
Listen, take every moment you can and live in the moment. I know this is so cliche, but spring is only here for a short time. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to get a lot of the same stuff. Enjoy this before it gets stinking hot, Logan. It's going to get stinking hot soon.
Let me just kind of add on a little bit to that. I'm not trying to make this a sad conversation, right?
Okay, what are you doing?
Had a really good friend that I grew up across the street from. Her name was Colleen. She's my age, a couple years older, but she lost a battle with cancer about a week ago.
Oh, that's rough, yeah.
And I actually went and spoke at her funeral late last week. It was last Thursday night. I went down to Buckhead, went to a very, very nice funeral. And her family asked me to talk about just growing up on Wind Drive and doing that. But that's one thing I said when I was talking in my talk, because this Colleen is a UGA grad. Her father is a Florida grad that has like the renewable SEC championship game tickets. And when Florida didn't make it, but Georgia, he would give her the tickets to go. And I would see her every December over at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for like 5 minutes, just a brief little, hey, good to see you again reunion. Had no clue this last December would be the last time I saw her.
Wow.
But one thing I spoke about in the funeral, I was like, look, man, we can follow each other on social media. We can like each other's status. We can, you know, comment on your food that you're sharing with us. There's not a single amount of likes in this world that equates to a single hug in person.
Right. Getting to see them. Yep.
So live in the moment, Adam. Get outside. Reach out to a friend you haven't seen in a while. Go have coffee.
Go see him.
Man.
Yeah. No, sir. You're right about that, man. A hug, a handshake, a pat on the back. That's what it's all about.
A Stripers game. A Thirsty Thursday Striper game.
Listen, you tell me how many and we got you covered.
I'll tell you what, man. You bring me an Austin Riley extra large t-shirt tomorrow in the studio. I'll be coming to a game real soon. I promise you that.
All right.
Adam, we're done. Episode 300 in the books.
Bam. Good stuff, man.
We got to go, man. Yeah, get out to the Striper. See Adam. Tell him you're a cheesehead. He may hook you up with something.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And, let's come back next week and let's get summer officially underway, man. Go Braves. Go Stripers. Adam, see you next week.
Let's go, man.
Second String WGAU.